Okay, as we're starting here with our continuation of the book of Revelation. So this book is profound. It's interesting. You will be blessed because of it. And so through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I will continue to preach and teach the word. We're at Revelation chapter 13. Rich had read the 10 verses there. You have to remember in that context, it's referring to a political leader that comes to rise. In verses 11 through 18, we're looking at a religious leader that will come to rise. In the meantime, we looked at what we went through last week. Somebody said I could have taken that sermon and cut it into two sermons. Probably so. But you know, when you do expository preaching, you want to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to study as a workman who's not ashamed. We are not ashamed here today because we study God's word. It's God, what has God called us to do? To be a blessing to yourselves and to the hearers of the word. Last week we looked in chapter 12 with the war of the ages. And there is a war going on, okay? If it's not yourself that you're fighting with and it's a spiritual battle out there, and you got to treat people right. You got to love them, right? And so you have to be careful what you say and how you say it. And if you feel like you offended somebody, you got to tell them, and you got to get it right with them, okay? That's just part, a very little bit of what we go through during the week. So you have, last week we looked at Israel. It was the woman that was referring to, not the church. And remember, there was a lot of symbolism. Remember, John is writing this to Jewish Christians. So they understood what the woman meant. It was not the church. We looked at it last week, going through the tribulation period. And we're going to even look at that further today. The church will not be there during that. Church is the bride, okay? And Christ is the groom. Now, second of all, we looked at the red dragon, his five steps of his fall, from Ezekiel, the time when he was anointed cherub, to the time that he was cast out of the third heaven, which is God's throne, and he's cast into the universe as we see it now, okay? And then, of course, we looked at verse 9 last week as we're going through halfway through the tribulation period, how the dragon was now cast here into this atmosphere here around earth, okay? And he was also cast to the earth. So now you have, he's an angel, he's a spirit, he's a messenger, they all are, he's a cherubim, but he was anointed one that covered of God's throne. He protected it, and we looked at last week. He was the music director because he was made with music. Music is an awesome thing, a powerful thing that could be used to sway people's emotions, and obviously that was part of it, and also his beauty, and he fell. So that is our arch enemy. So we're looking at chapter 12 and verse 9. So that's halfway during the tribulation period. Then we looked at also that we're praising God as saints in chapter 12, verse 11, with the understanding that we have overcome all this by the blood of the Lamb and also by the word of our testimony. And three, we loved our lives not even to the point of death. We looked at how Abraham in Sunday school took Isaac and took him, and he was about ready to plunge that knife into his son Isaac because he was obeying God, okay? So our faith will even take us to the point of death, and as it was then with our faith taken it that far, and we will be persecuted if we're still here. We won't be, okay? It will be for those who have walked away from God, and God is still saying, repent. Remember all this judgment, it's going on, all right? and then, fifthly, there was the dragon we looked at last week has great wrath, because he knows his time is short. He only has 42 months left before he goes from stage four to the bottomless pit, which will be shut up for 1,000 years. And then, of course, the fifth stage for the old dragon would be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever again. It's amazing, and the point is how people fall so quickly from being lifted up. And this is a great lesson for each and every one of us when we get haughty with pride. Watch it. We got to watch ourselves. God resists the proud, right? He gives grace to the humble. Got it. Okay? So every once in a while, I have to be reminded of it. You know, humble yourself or else I'm not going to use you, right? And so God understands there. We get it under the blood. We move on. Now, with this being said, now, with our introduction here in chapter 13, then John goes on to write, he says, then I stood on the sand of the sea. Now, I'm going to stop there. The older translations will use, and he stood upon the sand. This is supposed to be the dragon, Satan, the devil. Okay, he's looking at the sea, which is what? Humanity. It's a symbol of humanity, the sea, when you look at that in Daniel and as well in the book of Revelation. Someone asked me years ago, how will the Antichrist, well, now remember, the Antichrist is what? The beast, right? He's a Jesus, pretending Jesus. The false prophet, okay, is like acting like the Holy Spirit, which what does the Holy Spirit do today? He points to Jesus. It's not the other way around. We get a lot of churches today put emphasis just on the Holy Spirit, and I got extra revelations from God and so on and so forth. I got that. But we have to be careful what we hear, and we have to sift it through the Word of God. So my professor told me this years ago. I said, well, how is Satan going to come back? Once he's cast out of the third, second, and now he's in the first heaven, which is here on earth. And he explained to me out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Okay, this is a side note. Now you need to hear this. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, remember Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, and they thought that the rapture had already come. They were being persecuted by Caesar, which is a type of Antichrist, a type of Antichrist. I told you these things, and now I know what the restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. He's restraining the Holy Spirit right now, is restraining from this man of sin coming here and showing himself. Restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. That word revealed has an idea of a curtain opening up. An introduction to a stage, somebody ready to perform. The Antichrist, we don't know who, the beast, the Antichrist, we don't know who he is going to be. Many people think that, oh, it's this person, it was Adolf Hitler, before that was somebody else. That's foolishness, because we won't know until the rapture takes us up. Then he'll be revealed. It has the idea in the Greek as somebody being on stage, the curtain being revealed back. But the mystery of lawlessness, I'm going to stop here with this word study. Now listen to me. In these times that we live in, this is coming right up through the tribulation period. And this is so important. Lawlessness has the idea of being completely not moral according to the Bible. In other words, you looked at what happened with the Olympics during the Winter Olympics. Remember with the Lord's Supper? We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight, right? Today, right? And they dressed up in these crazy costumes. That same kind of spirit will be there during the tribulation period. There will be nothing about God. We ask, why is all this confusion since COVID and all this crazy stuff going on? Because that it's just going to intensify the moral, the problems that we have apart from God's morality, because that's what we base our morals on. So, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and he who is now restrains the Holy Spirit will do so until he is taken out of the way. So, we go at the rapture. The Holy Spirit is lifted up. Remember, the Holy Spirit is still present everywhere, but it won't be with the church. We'll be gone. And the lawless one who will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Talking about the second coming. Now listen, the coming of the lawless one has the same idea here. It has the same Greek word to describe the coming of Jesus. So the Antichrist will come here to earth. Okay, Satan will come to earth. Excuse me, you have Satan like the God the Father, Antichrist like the Son, and the false prophet of the anti-spirit, okay, against God. So he's going to come back. Remember Jesus says, I'm going up in the clouds in Acts 1:8. We did word studies in Bible seminary, and we had the best time because it was like, this is how he's going to come back. He's going to come back from the skies. The same Greek word there. And so that's what's happening. He's also known here, going back to chapter 6 in Revelation. Remember this? I'm giving you a little bit of background here. You're talking about the red horse, the white horse. 6:1, talking about a man of false peace. He will come. And when he comes back in the clouds, he will come. Now, you can say, well, that's kind of interesting, but I don't really know how he's going to come back in form, but he'll come back as a man, the Antichrist. Remember, Satan is in this atmosphere. He is the prince and power of the air. Job says he goes to and fro through the earth, okay? But he will find a man that sold out him in body and demon-possessed this guy called the Antichrist. And he will come on the scene. Now, just hold on. He's also known, Satan is known as God of this age, ruler of the kingdom of the air. So, let's just stop there, okay? Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Then he stood, the older translations meant he. I don't know why it says I here, but if you do your word studies, most of the old translation says he, okay? It doesn't mean there's a contradictory in God's word. It should be he, talking about Satan, okay? Stood on the sand of the sea. It wouldn't look right grammatically as saying John stood on the sand of the sea. It doesn't make any sense, okay? So he stood on the sand of the sea of humanity, and that was Satan, the fallen one, okay? And he's looking around, and up from the sea I saw a beast. And it has the idea here of one who is the Antichrist, which is going to happen here during this time. And it's going to be a complete counterfeit of Genesis 22:17 with Abraham. Remember, he's always a counterfeit. He's going to try to seize the promise of global blessing that came from Abraham. Remember, through Genesis chapter 12, God said, I'll make you a blessing through all generations, and your seed will be passed on and on. And it says, I will surely bless you and make you descendants so numerous as the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will be possession of the cities of your enemies. So there is that counterfeit that comes up. Now, God also created man in his own image, but Satan will create the beast in his own image. Okay, there's that counterfeit. Okay, there are counterfeits everywhere today, apart from the truth. There are a lot of lies out there. He is also named description by, in Mark 13:14, he's the abomination of desolation. It means he'll bring evil that brings destruction. That's what abomination of desolation means. He's called the false Christ. The one who will come in his own name, the man of sin, the son of destruction, the lawless one, Okay, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. Okay, he will bring his own morals, not God's morals. That's why we see some things just don't make any sense in the world today, especially in Europe with their ungodliness, and they're reaping what they're sowing over there. And we see here, so we saw a beast rising up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. And having seven heads, 10 horns, and his horns, 10 crowns. Okay? The seven heads were going back to what it was mentioned there in Daniel chapter 2 and then also Daniel chapter 2 and interpreting here. And this had to deal with, we looked at last week, it was the seven heads was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire, that's the fourth one, then Greece, and then Rome, and then, of course, the revived Roman Empire, which is the ten toes in Daniel's interpretation of what Nebuchadnezzar saw, okay? So you have these seven kingdoms. Now, keep this in mind. Then you have, now, that was in the past, the seven major kingdoms that Daniel saw. Now we see in John's book of Revelation, he goes on to say, well, there were 10 horns. That meant a horn was symbolic of a kingdom. So there'll be 10 kingdoms at this last time during the tribulation period. And someone has asked, and so, well, what are they going to be? We don't know. Some people think there are going to be 10 nations from Europe. This is talking about worldwide kingdoms everywhere. So I kind of a little skeptical about that, about 10 kingdoms there in Europe, because I'm like, got to be 10 major rulers around the world. It doesn't make any sense why they would all be in Europe. Well, what about everybody else, right? So, you know, you remember the old school, and that's the way they taught it. But as time goes on, God gives you a little bit more wisdom. And the crowns mean authority and power. So at the time, we looked at the past kings, how they rose to power. And now we're looking at the futuristic, how the world is changing even today. Things are changing before our eyes. So we don't want to jump to any false conclusions. It's so easy to do that. And I don't have all the answers. I don't. I want knowing what I've rightly divide the word of truth. And some people may agree or disagree. That is between them and the Lord. Just be careful they don't have an itchy ear that has the idea I've got an itch, a fleshly itch, and it has to be itched all the time, so I feel good about it. It has the idea of a feeling good gospel. We preach the gospel, the reality of Jesus Christ, not a feel good gospel. So moving on here. So and on the heads were blasphemous names. So they spoke evil of God. This is again, Antichrist means against. And then on his head, remember, Jesus had many crowns. This Antichrist, this beast, will be empowered by Satan. Remember, God's allowing all this to happen. Remember, Satan is so full of himself. He thinks he's it. Remember, he wanted to be like God. Now's his opportunity. We have to be careful as Christians and loved ones. We don't get puffed up, because I tell you what, every once in a while, like I said, I have to be humble, because I might say something to somebody and I don't want to hear it. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, what am I doing? Whoa, Lord, please forgive me. And I have to humble myself quickly, okay? Because I think I know better and I don't know anything, you know? So Jesus had many crowns in Revelation 19:12, and the beast had, what, just 10 crowns, okay? So I don't have an outline here, but what I'm giving to you, I'm cutting the chapter in half. We're looking at the beast that comes out of the sea. We're looking at the political leader today. Next week it's going to be the religious leader. So there's so much to say here. Then we're seeing here that in verse 1, Jesus is looking at, he is known as the Word of God. He is the faithful and true one. And all the antichrists, and again, the fake comes out and says, oh, you know what, I'm going to blaspheme his name. You know, I don't want him. I'm going to criticize them. We'll look at more of that in a minute here. Now let's go on to verse 2. So we see that the past seven heads, okay, Daniel's vision, and then of course what we're going to see now during halfway through the tribulation, Revelation 12:9, we see now this is expanding to 10 kings, okay, with crowns that will govern the world while the Antichrist is in power. Remember, God has given rule and authority. Verse 2, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. In other words, his rise of power will be swift. Okay, leopards are very one of the fastest creatures around. Okay, also you will have like feet like a bear. In other words, bears are known to be very strong opponents to people. They can crush them with their paws. One's flight will practically knock your head off. They're very ferocious. A mouth like a lion will devour of all those who stand in their way. Of course they do, okay? So he will be very vicious, very mean, because he knows his time's short. Have you ever seen somebody who's just irate, has lost it, and just running on adrenaline? Well, he knows he wants God's throne. That's all he wants for himself. And he will make himself God over all other gods. And there's only one God. And so, you know, remember, he's going to set up an idol in his temple. Okay? And what it says in Exodus chapter 12, I believe, the Ten Commandments, or Exodus chapter 20, have no other god or idol before me. That's putting anything before God, anything, including ourselves, you know. So there's going to be maybe an image, like, you know, we'll look at that with happened to Daniel when those three young men ran into what they had. So Daniel 7:23, concluding in verse 2, says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. He shall devour the whole earth and trample it and break it into pieces. So this is the kingdom that's coming to power now. Verse 3 says this, and the dragon gave him his power and throne and great authority. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world marveled and followed after the beast. Revelation 5:9 says this, you are worthy, O Lamb of God, to be given praise, honor, and glory. Remember, the church is taken up after Revelation chapter 3 and Revelations 4 and 5. We're going to be there, the church, and we're going to be praising God. We're actually going to be singing these songs there. But it says here in Revelation 13:3, the beast seemed to have a fatal wound. Think about it. He was raised from the dead. That's also very interesting. The world was like astonished. How can anybody? Now, we don't know how the Antichrist is going to die. But, you know, if you have this human being, which he will be possessed by a very strong demon, because it's not Satan himself, it will be a very strong demon from pits of hell, the Satan will rise him up from the dead. Now, God will allow that to happen once, because he has no authority with the resurrection. Forget it. Satan does not. Jesus Christ does. The beast does not. Okay? The power demonic person who he is. Okay? And so, the only time... Look at this. We look at Revelation 20:11 through 15. All the wicked will be raised up at the time of the great white throne. Okay? Satan does not have that power. And that's a praise item. But God allows it this one time, okay? God gives the devil the power to do it. Remember, we go through trials and tribulations. We should give thanks for them. There are times when we have to seek the Lord and ask for help. And he'll give us that resurrection power to overcome our trials and tribulations. Amen. So, eight characteristics here we're going to look at here in verse 4 of the devil. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So, again, God will give Satan this reason. Why? Because God has a plan. You know, some of us have been through some terrible trials and tribulations, and we've suffered for it, okay? And other Christians have too. But God has a plan. Remember, we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We're conquerors through his word, through his blood, through our faithfulness. We need to encourage one another in these days. Just because it might be quiet and hot out there, there's a warfare going on. And he wants to take you down. Like I said last week in 1 Corinthians, there's a passage there that states that Satan has a design on your back. He wants to take you down. So take heed. Be careful. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. I want to encourage you. Greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. So he will be an intellectual genius. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. An orator genius. Daniel 11, 36. A political genius. Revelation 17, 11 through 12. A commercial genius. Daniel chapter 11, verse 43. A military genius. Revelation 6, 2. A religious genius. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. And Revelation 13, 8. And he will come, this beast. Now remember, beginning of Revelation, the beast will come on the earth and try to bring peace and restore everything. And, you know, people will gravitate to him. It's only when he sits in the temple of God, proclaims himself as God, pardon me, all hell breaks loose. Now, we looked at the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Okay, but remember, this will be going on, the Great Tribulation, but it will only intensify. And so his time is short, okay? And there will be a lot of people that will be persuaded by him and it will worship him. Why? Because they don't want the true God. You know, how many witness times have we had this week? And how many people have said, yeah, I don't want what you have to say. You know, no thank you, it's not for me. I gotta go swimming. You know, I gotta take the boat out. I got stuff to do. People are very busy during the summer, very, very busy, and you have to be careful as the Lord leads you to witness to people when the right time to do it and when not to. So who is like him? Is the beast able to make war with him? Okay. So verse 5, and it was given him a mouth of speaking great things. Okay? Blasphemies. Remember, speaking evil of God. All right? Or you can use that for a person too. You're being blasphemous. You're speaking evil about me or somebody else. And who was given authority to continue for 42 months, half the tribulation period. Then he was to open his mouth and blaspheme against God. Remember, this is the last half of the tribulation period. And blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So there are four areas that he'll do this. So he'll blaspheme God, okay, personally. He will blaspheme the name of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will blaspheme the tabernacle of heaven, those who dwell in heaven. That includes you and I as well, because he hates the name of Jesus. He hates the cross. He hates redemption. Okay? And seriously, people joke around about, no, he's our enemy. He hates us. And if he can use a Christian behind the scenes, and I tell you, this has really upset people, and I'll say it again. Sometimes Satan will use us like he did Peter. And, you know, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Satan, get behind me. And he looked at Peter. He says, you know what? Satan tried to sift you as wheat. You're like, how in the world can that happen? Oh my goodness, I'm sealed with the Spirit of God. No, Peter knew the Lord too. Remember, there were times when he denied the Lord, and yet God still used him. And you know what? Peter came back in remorse. The problem between Peter and Judas, Judas had no remorse. But getting back to what happened with Peter, God still used him. And let us remember that. Be spiritually sensitive. Ask God for sensitivity when we know that another brother or sister doesn't sound right. Something's not right. And just pray for them. Don't be judgmental, but have a loving, discerning heart. And say, you know what? I'll pray for that brother and sister. The devil's somehow using them. And there's a lot of that going on in churches today. There's a lot going on. And I have to be careful. I'm not being used as a tool, too. So, you know, the blaspheme, the God of heaven and those who are of God, that's his goal. Because he wants to take everybody with him straight to hell because he knows his time is short. And he's angry because he can't have his way. He's like a little kid. He can't have his way. Throws a temper tantrum. And, you know, God's saying, hey, look, you know better. So 1 John 4:3 says, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. And even now, already in the world, this is mentioned 4 times, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. Okay, somebody says, well, is the Antichrist here already? I don't know, but I know it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he will be revealed. It's like that curtain opening up. And they'll be there, and everybody will know it. And even people who reject Christ now, time, when the beginning of the tribulation period, people will be like, oh my goodness, this Jesus was for real. But then they're going to have a double problem. They're going to look at a counterfeit Jesus. By the way, in the news, I want to say this, with Iran, everything going on, I'm talking about politics, but the Bible is full of politics. The Iranians are very serious about the Muslim faith. And their Mahdi, in the book of Quran, it states in there that they must war a great warfare before their Jesus comes back. Isn't that interesting? Pray for our leaders. I think the more time we spend over there, we might be getting in too much trouble. I'm just going to say that. But my point is with the Iranians, they want war. And they're going to fight it. And who knows, the Antichrist might be the Mahdi. I don't know who he's going to be. He could be a Gentile, a Jew, or a Muslim. Okay? So we talked about that before. Just keep in the back of your mind that pray that either God will keep us there. And it's like one wise, decent deacon told me about 4 weeks ago, you know what? I'm not worried about it because God's in control of everything anyway. He's going to bring everything to pass. Amen? So we don't have to be concerned about that, but we're reminded every day, looking in the news, the times of the season. So verse 7 says, and it was granted him to make war of the saints, overcome them, and authority was given to him for every tribe, tongue, and nation. So thank God that Romans 8:35-39, now remember, two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed at this time. We said last week with Adolf Hitler, it was a third of the Jews. Now, like it says in Revelation and in Matthew's gospel, don't hang around here. Go to the mountains there where Petra is in that area. We talked about that last week, the Jordanian mountains. Flee, run, because the Antichrist is coming after you. Thank God that we have Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, or tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? It is written, for the sakes we were killed all the day long. We were counted as sheep as for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for that. Because the love is there. Amen. At the end of the day, we failed him or not, his love is still there. We can still cry out to him like Peter did if we failed him. Or if we succeeded that day, give thanks too in a humble spirit. Remember this too, when the persecution is going on. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, this is going to be a type of situation what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Remember with the image in Daniel chapter 2, it says, fall down, worship me. And they said, no, we're not going to do that, old king. You know, you are king. We will respect you. When it comes to not a higher power, because that's what they talk about in the Alcohol Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, but, O king, we serve a God in heaven, okay, the Son of God. And who appeared there in the furnace? One like the Son of God. And remember there, too, that Nebuchadnezzar eventually came to know the Lord. Remember, his mind went from him. You remember that in Sunday school class. I believe he came to know the Lord because he gave praise and honor and glory to God in heaven. How can that happen unless God opens the windows of heaven up and there he is? You're like, oh yeah, like it happened with Paul on Damascus Road. He was like, oh yeah, there he is. I knew he was there the whole time. I walked by faith and not by sight. And then there was his son came along later on in Daniel, Belshazzar, and, you know, he took the cups, the things that were out of the temple, and he gave praise to his gods. And it was, remember that writing on the wall? It says, your kingdom's through. Pray for our country that it never walks away from Israel. Pray that we stick with Israel, because that's the key to prophecy. And then there was Darius. He came with the Medes and the Persians. Remember Daniel in the lion's den. Remember, you know, Daniel was faithful praying. He had these people turn on him and said, worship you. And remember, Darius, at the end of the story, they threw Daniel down in the lion's den. And yet what happened was is that God delivered Daniel. He delivers us today from the mouths of the lions, doesn't he? And you know what I'm talking about. The warfare is for real out there. And remember Darius? He went ahead and he praised the God of heaven too. I believe he came to know the Lord too. Just read your Bible. It's right there. How can he get that revelation? It was from God. I believe he accepted God. Even though he was a pagan king, God is not a respecter of persons. He, you know, people can come to know the Lord. We need to point people to Jesus. There's nothing better than that. No greater sacrifice than one to say, you know what, Lord, it's not even to me, it's a sacrifice. I give it to you freely because you gave me everything I have now. So we see going on here, all who dwell in verse 8, in Revelation 13 on earth, who will worship him, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, and was slain from the foundation of the world. So those who worship the Antichrist, they will stand before God at the great white throne, which will happen. And it said heaven fled away. It has the idea there was no room for anybody to run to. In other words, you were there in the presence of God, whether you wanted to run or not. You couldn't get away from the presence of God. And I often think a lot of people today, they know about the presence of God, but they don't want it. They're just like, I don't want this God of the Bible. You know what? Be careful what you pray for. You might just get what you want. And then what will happen is that, you know what? You're reaping what you're sowing, you know. But remember, God loves his people. Then verse 9 says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Churches are not present at this time. This is another argument, okay? Because it says here, you know, sometimes having notes helps you out, but I'm going to be for real with you here, okay? All seven churches have this, okay? Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thank you, Lord, you gave that to my mind. What the Spirit says to the churches. Churches are gone. Who has an ear, let them hear. In other words, there's a warning. You're going through the tribulation period. You know, if I went out there talking to people in the tribulation period, I'd probably be laughed at. I wouldn't be surprised. You're nuts. You're crazy. Oh, yeah, you're a preacher anyway. They're all a bunch of nuts in a package, you know. But the church won't be there. And then, of course, you see verse 10, and he who leads into captivity, in other words, prison, okay, shall go into captivity. Now listen to this. He who kills. Now it's not talking about murder. Thou shalt not kill. It says in Exodus chapter 20. It's not talking about. It's talking about murder. Thou shalt not murder. Because there are people who kill other people during wartime. Be very careful about that. Okay, that's why people's, you know, about the death penalty and so on and so forth. That's another topic, a topic in Genesis chapter 9. But that's why God allowed death for death, because it would send a fear of God into mankind. Our prisons are overfilled with people today that should have left this earth a long time ago. And they're letting them out, too. Judges are letting them out. Crazy. But let me not go down this rabbit hole. So he who kills with the sword must be killed with a sword. Okay, it's going back to Old Testament times. Again, Jewish Christians would understand this, that they understood that if you kill, you will be killed. In other words, man sows that, what shall he reap? Like eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Remember the Old Testament teachings there. If you did wrong, then you're going to get punished, okay? He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the faithful of the saints. So God wants us to be faithful. Remember, God is not a revenger of evil things, but he is a God of justice. And God's saying, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. What about these poor people being persecuted all the time, being harassed? God's saying, wait a minute, there's a reason why. To give glory to my name. Why? And his glory is love. Okay, so in conclusion here, just have two verses to read to you, and then we're going to have our Lord's Supper. But I love what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Remember, you know what the ancient paths are. You've been at the crossroads this week, and where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest in your souls. Jeremiah 6, 16. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. You know, I'm going to close with this. We have a lot of choices to make in life. And when Satan is after us, he wants to get us at our lowest part. And he wants us to fall. And I'm thinking about these tribulation saints at the very end. And I'm thinking about, Lord, help me to run that race and give me wisdom. That's what I've been praying. Just give me wisdom. Help me to run that race. And if I trip and fall, it's all right. I'll get back up again. You can use me like Peter, you know. You can use us. And that's what I wanted to encourage you today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, regardless if it's the beast that comes out of the sea, into tribulation. Lord, you always have a remnant there. You always have your people that will call upon you in that day. We just pray, Lord, that you would just at this time settle us, keep us at peace with you. And as we get ready for the time that we have for the Lord's Supper, God, will we keep in mind that you're in control of everything. You are in control of what the devil does with the current events. You know all things. We just thank you, Lord, that you bring these things to pass and help us to get our hearts prepared at this time for your supper. In your name we pray. Amen.